on this episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast, we have Kyle.
Hi.
Roselle as a special guest.
Let's
thank
go.
You so much for joining on the podcast.
Guys, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. And yeah, what a day it's been.
It's, man, it's my, your first day at the SC Expo, Tay?
It's my first day. I got in late last night, 4 a.m. I feel like I've told this story many times today. And I got a few hours of sleep and then came over to SCA. And I right away just started running around the expo and filmed a YouTube video, met a lot of people, cup of coffee, did it all. So here we are. Incredible. And after that, we came here to film this podcast.
Is this your first ever expo?
This is my first ever expo.
Yes. Nice. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a loaded day, I'll tell you.
Yeah. What'd you think?
It was just a lot. Like, I'm like, first off, it's like, there's so much to see and so much to do and so much to visualize. It's overwhelming a little bit. But then also you're like, okay, cool, just a bunch of gear. Which if you're into gear, that's great. I mean, there's a lot of cool gear that you know, that we saw, which was exciting.
Yes.
So it's kind of this balance of like, okay, we're here. But then it's like, oh my gosh, we only have like half a day here. And we need to see everything and everyone. And there's not enough time. Yeah. Listen, Kyle and I, just a little, you know, snippet. Kyle and I were there like an hour past closing. Like, they're like,
they were the intercom. Happy.
They're like, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Kyle's like, one more video.
One more video. One more interview. Yeah, there is. Yeah, I had people unpack gear that they already had packed up to make a video. Yeah, I overcommitted for sure. But I wanted to be here. I need to get back to my kids and business. But I couldn't miss it. You know, and Portland's on the other side of the country for me, in a different country. You know, I'm from Canada, in Ottawa. Sure. So like, I had to travel internationally and across the country. Regardless, it was very interesting. There was a lot of gear, but not a lot of new gear. And that was interesting for me, especially as somebody who would really wanted to expose a lot of it and show it on YouTube. Yeah. Just like, hey guys, this is what's happening. I had to actually search hard. Yeah. I mean, there's new stuff as of 2023, but it's stuff that I've either already reviewed or stuff that's been out for a few months, like the Time War Sculptor, right? Like that's new for a lot of people, but not necessarily new to me.
Interesting. That's exactly how I felt. I thought there was going to be more newer stuff.
Yeah.
But I think also there's like this race of like, oh, let's announce it.
Yeah.
Let's hurry up, you know. I don't know. But anyways, before we get into the juiciness, let's pour some decaf. Hopefully it's better than the last time we poured and we brewed. So because we're all over caffeinated ridiculously from drinking, cupping, tasting, decaf is the way to go. So
I mean, my first coffee of the morning today at the expo was brewed and delivered by the one and only Andrea Allen.
Wow.
And Lem Butler. So that was a pretty wild experience. I think that's special. One of the things at Expo that I love is you, for me at least, you get to see your heroes. Mm. Like, I look up to all those people. Andrea's like plays a big role in just my life in wanting to be a competitor.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal. And then of course Lem is kind of been a friend from the outside, because my original coffee boss from back in the day at Social Grounds is very close friends with Lem, and it was influenced by Lem quite a bit.
Speaking of heroes, sometimes you end up on the recording a podcast with one of your heroes. I don't know. That's like,
that's too much.
Do you want to jump? Do you want to jump on the pod? He's like, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know who you are, but
Tanner, sure. Right?
Yeah. Oh yes. Okay. Very well said. All right. Some batchy. I think we pushed it a little too far.
Yeah.
I'm digging it. I'm loving that. Yeah. Oh, I love that high extraction all day.
Dude. I guess that's it. I made it in life. Kyle likes the batchy.
I mean, this is decaf. Yeah. What is this coffee?
This is the Columbia Bader decaf.
Nice. Did you guys roast this?
Yeah, we roasted this. Yeah.
This is, I mean, with the nice thing with decaf is you lower bitters. So you can really push extraction on decaf and get some really sweet cups, you know? So yeah, I'm all for this.
Man, I feel like from the last few brews, it kind of lacks acidity. Mm. No? Am I crazy or what? In comparison to this coffee. Like, I absolutely love this coffee.
Yeah.
From folks who've like cupped and scored it, it's actually like pretty high scoring coffee in general, not only as a decaf. But I'm not like
I'm not
hyped on it right now. It's not.
I mean, it's solid. It's not bad. I mean, why am I complaining about this? Come on.
I love it. I'm also like running on 3 hours of sleep, so I could play into it for sure. But no, I think that's great job. It tastes great.
Well,
I already finished, by the way, so I'm gonna pour myself some more.
Go for it. So you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, and there's so much that we can talk about with Kyle, but I think we should just like get right into it. Hope that we can go some places that your folks, you know, the 10 people on the face of the planet that don't know you.
Sure.
Even the people who do know you and who have been watching your content. I want to go places where they've never been.
Let's go.
Just start off, you just launched September Coffee.
Dude.
Why did you decide out of all the things to start? You could have been like a product designer.
Yep.
You could have worked with, you know, contributing to new gear being made, a cafe, whatever it is. Why, out of all things, probably the worst thing you could have done is start a roasting company because it's freaking hard.
It is hard.
Dive into that a little bit.
Well, for those who don't know who I am, I don't want to assume everyone knows. I'm a YouTuber and full-time YouTuber in coffee. I recently stepped into YouTube full-time. And for those who didn't think that was a thing, it very much is. Coffee is a growing space, and a lot of people want to learn and know more about how to brew coffee at home. A lot of my content has been centered around the home brewer. Very, very little has been around the professional. It's been recipes and how-tos. I started a blog back in 2020 when the pandemic hit, called Brew at Home. Right, that was the center of my content.
Oh, whoa, that's a throwback. I was like, wait, when was that? And then I'm like,
people didn't know my name for a long time. It was just Brew at Home Blog. That's what it was. And I just blogged about recipes and different things about espresso and coffee. And so my content really has been focused around the home brewer. And a lot of that has to do with recipes, but tutorials and gear reviews. So a lot of my content over time has morphed into that. And I love it. I am a gearhead. And I think that there's a ever evolving industry within coffee of just so many new things. And so I've really focused a lot of my content around there and niched down.
Yep. That's cool.
Keep going.
All right. That's Portland.
There's a car going by for those who are wondering why I stopped. But so we really niche down. And for those who don't know YouTube analytics, it's really helpful to kind of just really get specific on content that you create. So I really did. And I started posting a lot on Instagram, and the channel started doing really well. And at the time, I was also working a full-time job. And so this past fall, I committed. I sat down with my wife, Natasha, and said, like, I love this. I love this industry. I love coffee, and I want to be in it full time. We sat down before last fall. We stepped out of our jobs. But last year, and we started talking about what this could look like. And one thing that we realized is that while gear is great and the home brewer is a big part of this industry, we felt convicted, to be quite honest, about only focusing on that element because it's not the most important by any means. There are much more important attributes to this industry and more important things to focus on. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, rather than just being a preacher with false actions or empty actions, we actually want to step into roasting so that we can highlight producers and farmers and tasty coffees and focus on them and actually do the work and then talk about it after. So that I'm not just speaking with empty actions, right? Yeah. And so that was a big thing. And so we decided to launch a roastery. The original thought was not to be a full roastery, to be quite honest. When we originally dreamed of September, we were thinking of an incredibly micro roastery, like a very specific, very driven roastery for, we were going to roast out of our home. Like we were going to do something very small, like on an Aeolia bullet, have like, you know, 10 kilos at a time of green and just do something very niche and sell it through the YouTube channel. And as we started doing more research and started diving into it more, we're like, no, that's not what we want to do. That doesn't really speak to what our values are. And more than that, we think we could do more and we want to do more. So we launched September as a Kickstarter in December. That was bifold. It was one thing to fund the company, but it was also to see the interest. It's like, how many people actually care? Because if they don't care, then we're not going to go all into the point where it's like, this is everything. Yeah. But the interest blew us away. We had originally a goal that was around 24,000 Canadian, which is like what, $5 US, something like that. but you know, $25,000 Canadian. Yeah. And it was like, that was what we need to start this business. Mm-hmm. That's, we need more than that. It takes a lot more to start a roastery. It takes a lot of capital, let alone buying a roaster, but like just to buy green, set up business, a lot of other things, you know? And so we were like, that's the minimum. Yeah. Like that's the, what we need to launch a business. And then 10 minutes before the Kickstarter launch, we actually got cold feet. And we were actually talking to the people at Meticulous Home before the Meticulous was even announced. Yeah. And he's a Kickstarter guru. And he said like, listen, man, put your goal small. Because like that, you just need to get it smaller. And there's reasons and algorithms behind that too. But we got cold feet and we actually dropped it down to 12 and a half. So we halved our goal 10 minutes before we launched Kickstarter. Dang. It was the most stressful moment. And we're like, because the thing with Kickstarter and the reason why we did that, for those wondering why would you do that, is you have to hit your goal or you don't get any money. So if you had like, if we hit 23 grand or 24 right. on the last day, we don't get anything.
Yeah.
And so we're like, man, like that's really stressful. And so we dropped it. So we're like, hey, at the very minimum, we'll have some capital to be able to invest. And we didn't want to go the investor route. We had people interested and we had some personal reasons of why not. We wanted to keep this very wholesome and very true to our vision and values. Mm-hmm. And the investors that were interested were just very interested in driving other things. And so it just wasn't the right move for our business. And so anyways, we launched it. And after 15 minutes, we hit our 12 and a half grand. Goal. And then we doubled that within 40 minutes. Yep. And then, we ended up doing like four times our goal in the first day, which was just like the most incredible. Humbling thing ever. Now with Kickstarters, it's, you know, like anything, it's a lot of interest at first and it kind of slows down a bit. But that was like, wow, okay, we can do this. We can actually have like a business and go all in full time. So that was what sparked that. And, here we are, 5 months later. And I mean, we can go into this if you want to, but we just bought a roaster and we bought a 3-year lease at a facility, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, remarkable. There's a few things that I'm hearing. I love the core values that are just so prevalent throughout this. I don't know what they are, but I think the way you talk about or decision-making being very core value-centric.
Sure.
We've talked about a lot about that on the podcast already in previous episodes. That just makes me happy. That makes me happy you didn't go with investors because of that. That makes me happy that your core values were actually, I didn't know this, but when you mentioned like just being about the gear, you realizing like, oh wait, this isn't the full picture. Mm-hmm. And your core value, your convictions were like, oh no, there's more to this that we feel like we need to be a part of.
Yes.
Or else the picture's not complete.
Yeah.
And I love that. I'm stoked.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And now to be clear, like I still love gear. And and YouTube is like the main revenue stream for our family. It's we're very blessed to be able to do that. It's an interesting thing where you can do YouTube and be sponsored by companies who believe in you to be able to do that full time and just create content about coffee. So we're still very much there. And I know some people have wondered, like, has Kyle quit YouTube to do September? No. Very much not. Yeah. But that being said, it has slowed down over the past little bit so that we could build a business, because starting a business takes a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort. And so we're kind of building the foundation for our business. But yeah, there was a huge conviction there, guys, where it was like, man, I can continue doing what I'm doing, but I will not feel fulfilled in doing what I'm doing within coffee. From what I left doing and to step into what I'm doing now, it can't just be about this. It's got to be a little deeper than that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think
it's great.
I love the fact that this was like a family decision for y'all, that Natasha is a big part of what September is doing. Yeah. And I'm super stoked about that. And I think that's also super important with how y'all made the decision to do a Kickstarter, because you wanted to keep it between y'all two.
Yeah. Thanks,
I think, we talked about like, or talked about capital on the podcast before, about one of my thoughts and not major regret, but a thought when I look back is like, man, I wish we had more money to start things differently, because we started bare bones with no Kickstarter.
Sure.
And we had family contribute financially. Yep. But at the end of the day, I would say it was majority Mark's savings account for a new car that got this all funded and started. Totally. And so, yeah.
Someday I'll get a new car. Sorry, I'm just still...
Yeah. Oh. So it, and I think there's one thing is like financial capital, but you also built a lot of social capital. And that's also like very, I think, crucial and important, because I remember running into your content on Instagram during 2020 and just seeing the gear part. I remember specific photos that you posted in the early days that caught my attention as a photographer. And it was coffee content.
Yeah.
And for me, at least, that beginning stage of coffee creators, I haven't seen anything like what you were creating. And that's why you were like one of the first folks who I started following. And I was super intrigued. I couldn't, honestly, my first like opinion was like, I don't know what to think about this. Like, wait, do people do this? Like, is this for real? Like,
yeah.
Can you take cool photos? Yeah. And people like, this is, I felt it was so niche to me.
Sure.
Like it spoke directly to me. And I remember sending you a DM on Instagram, and it was because you posted a story of playoffs, hockey playoffs, or it was something about the Leafs. And you said like something about who's your favorite. It was, or a sweater that was hanging up. And I'm like, yeah, Matt Sundin, hands down.
I remember
like,
that. Yeah, I do remember that.
And that's how we started talking. Yeah. And I was like, dang, you responded to my DM. That's wild.
Wow.
So
that's crazy. That seems like yesterday. I remember those moments, man. And 2020 was a wild time too.
Yeah.
By no means was I the first to do what I was doing. And I definitely don't want to take the credit for that. There were people doing it before me much better than I feel like I ever did it. But yeah, there was definitely a hunger in the space for the home barista during COVID.
Yeah.
That was it. Right. And it was like, hey, everybody's brewing coffee at home. How do I do it?
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I've got a lot of knowledge. I have an obsessive personality. And over the past, 10 years of my life, I have tried to learn everything I can about coffee. And so rather than just kind of keep it to myself and my close friends, I'll share it online. Yeah. I know how to take photos. Actually, fun fact, at the beginning of my socials, it was all on my iPhone. Wow. Just took photos on my iPhone 10. I knew how to take photos. I had the eye for photography, but I actually learned photography to take photos of coffee to grow my channel. And videography too. I didn't know how to take any video until I started a YouTube channel so that I could talk about coffee. So a lot of people go, I can't do coffee. I can't make content because I didn't know how, I don't know how to take video. Wild. And I'm like, I didn't either, man. Like you got to be hungry. You got to have a hunger to actually learn this stuff. 100%. And so I spent, dozens of hours learning everything, watching Peter McKinnon videos and everything that I could to learn about videography so I could do it. And then, that actually branched out into my full-time job, and I was doing videography as part of my portfolio, but it all branched off from just the hunger to teach people.
Yeah.
But 2020 was an interesting time and I benefited from that. And I'm, there was a very hard time for so many people and for our family too. But one thing that was cool was seeing the social space within coffee grow.
Yes.
And we're seeing the benefits of that now, like just coming off SEA Expo.
Yep.
I would assume that years prior were never like this. There were a lot of content creators there.
A lot. Yeah.
And they were all hanging out, and it was, you see roasters hang out with each other. You see competitors hang out with each other. There was a whole group of creators hanging out with each other, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was incredible. So beautiful to see. And it was powerful.
Yeah. Let's go. Good one. Wow. Yes, wow. It was.
Clip that. That was so good. Just put it on repeat and just, that's powerful. That's powerful. We're literally going to clip that. And every time there's something like for the next 100 episodes of Mirror Podcast, every time we say something good, just...
Kyle's it's powerful.
Voice and bass just goes.
It's powerful. Oh, so good. I really thought it was cool though, and that was probably one of the highlights for me was going as a roaster as well, and I was there cupping green. But like, man, some of my favorite moments were just hanging out with fellow creators.
Yeah.
Where they're like running around with cameras, like I just want to feature this person. They're doing something cool, and it's like, man, this is so fun.
Yeah, so I love that crossover between like creators and then coffee professionals, like you owning a roasting company, but then Emily as well now using Instagram as a way to, like, to be a creator, but also to have influence and to share knowledge and share experiences. Of course, Lance, that crossover is becoming more and more common. Yeah. And like, I'm absolutely stoked with it. And I thinking about like the early days, like you were mentioning, like 2020, I mean, that's how we met Alex Wallace. That's how we met Jimmy. Legend. Tanner, like all of these folks that I consider like a big part of like my coffee community.
Yeah.
But they're also not the folks that I go behind the bar with and pull espressos. Yeah. So, and have the two worlds like collide today was unlike anything else and unlike any expo I've been to. So I'm like very, very stoked on that. Yeah. It's been a good day.
Yeah. And to say that too, like we were talking about earlier, not a lot of new products. It was still a great expo. Like I don't want anybody hearing that 100%. Wrong. Like I had such a good time and it was just so good to be with people again, doing that. I know we've been doing that for a while now again, but like, I mean, the past few years we weren't able to do all of that.
Right.
So
right.
to kind of see everybody, I saw a lot of faces for the first time. Like you guys, right? Like we've chatted for years, but never face to face.
Yeah.
And so Expo has kind of been that moment in coffee where everybody gets to come together as a family. And we finally got to do that again. I know we got to do it in Boston last year. I couldn't make it, but it's just feeling very organic and very healthy for the space.
Cupping together with more than one person felt really good as well.
Yeah.
That's something I miss, just group cuppings and being like in a cupping yesterday we had at a cafe. It was absolutely incredible with a bunch of coffee professionals and roasters. It was just like, yes, this is refreshing to be cupping with a group of people
again. So jealous.
Yeah, it's so good. We don't have much time, man. There's so much we could say. What was one thing that you just did not expect in terms of being a difficulty of your process of starting the roasting company? Like what's one thing that you were just like, well, I was not expecting that. That was just a curveball, but you had to work through it or are working through
it. Yeah. That's a great question. So we don't own a roaster yet. And so we've been renting time on a roaster. Shout outs to Morning Owl in Ottawa. They've been fantastic and hospitable. And as a new business, it's been incredible because our backup plan was literally like, we had many, but it was not going to be ideal. And so we were very excited to get that. And so renting on somebody else's roaster is very hard. So I'll talk about that specifically and then more something broad for the business. That's been very hard, even though they've been amazing. Like the way that it's calibrated isn't really the way I would have it set up. Mm-hmm. It's got some limitations there and they've been fantastic, but so like that's been very tough, is dialing in our profiles for on a roaster that maybe I would have calibrated differently, right? Yeah, that's been incredibly hard. And we've been able to do it. You know, our profiles look good. They taste good for what we want them to be. But it's been, we threw out probably 200 kilos of coffee. Yeah. And like most people be like, you're crazy. But like, we were not happy with it. And we're like, man, September represents me. It represents our company, our family. Yeah. And I will not have anything go out that is not something that I'm proud of. And so that's, you know, a lot of roasters would resonate with that. And I'm sure you guys do too, right? But for the first many batches, I was like, no, it's just not up to standard. It's good. Most people would enjoy it. They wouldn't bat an eye at it, but I do. That was very hard. And, you know, as a Kickstarter, you raise money to be able to invest in the company. But when that money is being invested is actually being thrown out, that was hard. But it was something we needed to do to grow as a company. So that was a very specific struggle for us. And that was hard. They didn't have Cropster set up for their roaster. Diedrich's, which we're roasting on right now, you can just roast. They have like an actual screen that comes off of, we have the automated one. And so you don't need Cropster. They don't have the Cropster inputs. So I had to actually install a fidget on somebody else's roaster. So I'm in there cutting wires and splicing wires on somebody else's roaster. That was stressful. It's not that it's a big job, but it was like, man, this is not my product. This is, you know, a $50,000 roaster. I better not mess this up. So that was hard. So that was probably the biggest thing. I would say the second thing was, you guys did a podcast out on this actually not too long ago. Working with family is something that you have to learn. So for those who don't know, Natasha is the co-founder of September, but she's also my wife. And so that was something that was very intentional as we were chatting on the car ride over here. In our previous occupation, we were never able to work together. That was just something that was not in the cards for very specific policy reasons, but we had the same calling to that place. And we felt like we both belonged in that place. And for, you know, we were in a ministry position. So it might not sound, for some people, it might be like, well, you just didn't get hired by the place, but there was some backstory there. And so we wanted to make sure that the next thing that we did was together. Yeah. And so we were like, hey, if we're going to start this business, it's going to be both of us. And it's going to be very intentional about that. Right. And so, but that comes with its challenges. Yeah. And so like learning how to communicate has been very hard. Like she takes care of all of our wholesale relationships, all of our customer relationships. She takes care of a lot of the back end of the company where I roast every batch, you know, and I do a lot of the upfront stuff, green buying and that. So, yeah, so that's been very hard and learning that and learning how to communicate with your spouse who is also your partner. Mm-hmm. It's really good, but it's also very tough. But we've come to this place now where we feel like it's thriving, and you know the business is doing very well, and we're thankful for that. We're not satisfied. We want to continue growing it, obviously, but we're thankful. But yeah, that I could go into specifics, but yeah, many stressful moments, yeah. Right? Very stressful moments where it's just like, man, we want this company to be good, and we don't want to settle. That was something big for us.
Yeah. Yeah. This feels like a therapy session for me.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm like, oh man, that resonates. Thank God there's somebody normal like me.
Yeah.
Like that feels 100%. These things that yeah. I'm like throwing away 200 kilos. I'm like, oh, I feel yeah. that.
Oh, it was the hardest thing. I remember opening a green bin outside of the roastery and just dumping this coffee going, oh my gosh, like this is probably $1,000 worth of coffee.
Yeah.
Right. That feel like that. Like roasted coffee. Like we're not even talking like MSRP, right? And so like, man, that was hard. But you know, it is so important. And we wouldn't be where we're at today had I sent that coffee out. You know, a lot of our response from Kickstarter has been very positive.
Yeah.
And had we sent out mediocre coffee, our company would not thrive. It would also not represent us well, and it would not stick true to our core visions and values.
Mm. It's not you.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, the whole marriage thing, you're taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
there's one thing about maintaining like a healthy relationship, but being business partners.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, I would say, like good things about that. Like mm-hmm. I'm stoked about what y'all are doing. One, you know, Mark and I being brothers, that's a whole different dynamic as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And I think one of the major things is what we talked about on that podcast is looking at the benefit of having that the core of September is this very close bond and relationship.
Yeah.
And I think there's beauty in that. And also like being able to stick to your values and discuss that between your partner and yeah. be able to like, hey, like what do we believe in as a couple?
Yeah.
And then how does that look like mm-hmm. in a business?
Yeah.
There's so much beauty in that. And yeah. I really commend you. I don't know, like,
thanks, man.
I'm married with a kid and I'm like, man, that's a whole nother level. Brothers is yeah. one thing, but
yeah, we got two kids too. And so that's been something interesting is we've actually hired somebody to watch the kids while we're working. And so we already, you know, we have an employee to do that essentially. Right. And so, yeah, like we've got visions and values but we've also got like a 5-year goal. We yeah. want to hire sooner than later to be able to scale the company. Not right now. We don't have the capital to do that or the cash flow, but we, that is in the deck for sure. And we want to ensure that we can do this. And you know what? Like, yeah, it is intense going into business with your spouse, but at the same time, we've seen other people in the industry do it really well. That yeah. we really look up to.
Yes.
And that was inspiration for us.
Yes.
I can go to specifics, but I won't hear. But like we look at people and we're like, man, you guys are absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
Right. And they've got a great team around them. And so that's our goal too. It won't just be always the two of us, though it is right now, is that we want to build up a team around us too. We don't know if we want to be a massive roastery. We definitely really focus on direct to customer right now and then mm-hmm. Select wholesale partnerships. And we're really excited about that. But that'll change and we're excited about all those opportunities. To be honest, we're just quite happy to be here and yeah. we're just humbled to be here. Totally. You know, we grew, like you say, social, what'd you call it?
Social capital.
Social yeah. capital. I love that. That, you know, that wasn't something in my decks. I just kind of made content that I thought was interesting that I would want to mm-hmm. watch and that I would want to create. And other people wanted to watch it too. And I thought that was yeah. cool. So I continued doing it. and it's grown into something that honestly I never thought it would. Yeah. And so that I'm really grateful for. And to be able to then launch a business off of that too, as an umbrella with under my brand on YouTube,
yeah,
is just unreal.
Yeah, I think you've given so much value to like home baristas and the gear community. And I'm excited to see what September is going to bring to like the producer side, like what you were saying in the beginning of the episode about like how can we... not only like bring change, but almost like influence, not only within the gear side,
yeah,
but now within the actual like coffee, like
yeah,
literal coffee side.
Yeah.
And then how you purchase green and the decision making behind that, yeah, and what you are able to like bring to the forefront in the roasting side of it. Like, I'm excited to see that side of Kyle and how that is going to be portrayed also on social media, how you're going to communicate that yeah, with September. I know you have some plans, and yeah, how you're going to communicate that with possibly Natasha as well. Yeah, so yeah. I'm excited. There's so much potential. Like, talking to you on the car during this podcast or in the car during this podcast. And, I just have vision for you. Like, thanks, I can see the potential, and I'm like, oh, I'm very interested in which direction you take all of this. So
I wish I had all the answers.
Yeah.
We're learning as we go too. Like, I don't want to sit here pretending like we know everything.
Yeah.
Like I told you guys, like, we launched our Kickstarter with one idea, with two possibilities, right? And it came out one way, and we're like, hey, we're in. We're all in. But to say like we figured it all out, we haven't. We have core visions and values, as I mentioned already, but like we're stick to those. We are very close to those. But to say like we know everything is false. We just know that we want to share really tasty coffees. And so as a business, we're adapting and learning. And as a business owner, this is all new to us too. And so we're learning in a lot of areas there, as like maybe you guys can relate to when you guys start a mirror. It's like, man, there's a lot of unknowns and you learn as you go. But again, like, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we're humbled to be here.
Yeah.
And that's not like false humility. Like, we truly are. Like, it's couldn't imagine it, honestly.
Yeah. I think hanging out with you shows.
Thanks, man.
For sure. Yeah.
Get teary out over here. No, I feel like it seems too perfect all the time.
Yeah.
And little do people know that it's like, I have no idea what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm just, what I do know is I just have really maybe foolish confidence about the next step I need to take.
Yes.
And that's about it. 100%. And you're just going and you're like, dang, man, my coffee's not tasting the way it needs to. That means I need to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So what can I do today to get closer to being better? Or, man, this business needs help in this, or we need to purchase this piece of gear, or mm-hmm, okay, how do we do that? Let's break it down. Yeah. That's just one step out of the way. We just got our printed bags and boxes. Boom. That's like one thing off the list. And you're just going and you're like, what's the next smart thing to do? Yeah. And there is no formula. And sometimes that looks like throwing away 200 kilos of coffee. Sometimes that looks like, you know, late nights recording podcasts. And it's, dude, like, I'm so glad you brought that up. Because I'm like, I don't think people see that.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to see, you know, September with, you know, the fantastic Kickstarter and the YouTube channel and all this, and you don't ever see like, oh dang, like,
yeah,
there's some critical moments here.
100%. And you know, you guys can relate. We're a team of two, right? So like with September, we're not this big massive roastery, and obviously nothing wrong with that. Some of my favorite roasters are, but right now we are a team of two. And so like, it's just the two of us bagging, roasting every single bag of coffee that goes out, right? Like, people are like, do you outsource your coffee? A lot of people comment like, you're not actually roasting September. It's like, no, I'm roasting every single bag, right?
Yeah.
And so like every week I'm standing behind a roaster for many hours a day, so that I can just share beautiful products from amazing farmers and producers because of a deep conviction and a deep passion for this industry.
Yeah.
And so that's what you got to be birthed in that, because otherwise, like, why? Yeah. Like, why stand behind the smoking machine that gives you headaches every day, right? Like, why? Yeah. Because you have a love for it. And for us, that truly runs deep for us.
Yeah. That's a different weight to carry than, let's say, you have an employer that you want to make sure you meet their standard.
Yeah.
But when your standard is your consumer base, it's so much bigger. And there's this, I think, both like this pride and pressure at the same time where you want to give it your all. And then you also know, like, man, they deserve my all. Like, yeah it's intense. 100%. I think it's sometimes hard to communicate and just tell people how you feel because you're going through all of that all at once and you're trying to execute really, really well.
Yeah.
100%.
As we're just landing the plane here, what do you think people don't know about you that you'd want to share with them?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
No, I mean, it could be like, oh man, my favorite color is like purple, and I never want to share that with anybody.
His favorite color is blue. We know that. Yeah. Come on, Maple Leafs.
Yeah. Well, go Leafs go in the playoffs here now. I think the game has been decided, and I haven't checked my phone here, just so you guys know. Like, that's how much I'm into this podcast right now.
Let's go.
I think, for me, it's my personal values. Like, some people be like, okay, whatever, Kyle. But for me, my family is everything. Mm-hmm. Like for me, like the reason I do this is so that I can get up and see my two little boys in the morning and just be like, yo, it's for you. Like I'm doing this for you, right? It's not just to fulfill a narcissistic idea of building this platform for myself. Mm-hmm. Like I have no interest in that. I'm not saying people do, but I don't. And I really just really want to focus on my family and being the best husband that I can be the best father that I can be, and build my legacy up to be not the coffee YouTuber or the business owner of September, but just be the best dad, best husband. Yeah. And if I can do that, then I'm successful. And that's the core of who I am. And then everything else comes second.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't want to be a good business owner. It doesn't mean I don't want to be a good YouTuber. I do. And I really stress the details and everything, but more than anything, I want to stress the details in my marriage and in being a dad. And then I think under those two core values, or under that value rather, then everything else will fall in line.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. No,
100%. That's where I'm at. So that's for me, I really do love my family and I'm so grateful. I am a man of faith and I'm grateful for, I believe what God's blessed me to this journey. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm thankful for that. So, but my family's everything.
Yeah. Love that. Feel that deep. I've had to make plenty of hard decisions because I wanted to prioritize my family and it required that.
Yeah.
So I feel that deep. And also just the root and the concept of relationship, I can guarantee that value is going to translate in how you treat your farmers, how you treat your future employees, and how you treat folks all over the supply chain.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Thank you.
Mark is speechless. I love it.
I there's so much I'd want to pick your brain about and just
learn
and ask, continue to just ask questions.
Well, I don't have all the answers by any means, but.
but there's so much, I think, so much beauty in sharing your experience. Like that, the core communion with one another is literally you communicating and sharing your experience.
Mm.
And the more that you learn about somebody, the more that you actually have a piece of them that you're taking with them, that you hold a piece of them because of your understanding and you, the knowing of somebody else is literally you taking a piece of them. And to me, that's spectacular.
Mm.
That's just, I mean, when we're redefining success and all these things where, it's not about, I just want to be famous. I just want to make money. I just want to do this. But there's something so much more beautiful. And I think it adds value. Like, that's what I love listening to podcast-wise. That's, I mean, just hearing your experiences, that's encouraging me. And I'm like, my neurons are firing like, man, how that's so many things are relating. And it's just like, it's encouraging. It's inspiring. And so I appreciate you sharing everything that you did, coming on the podcast.
Oh, man.
Truly, it was an honor and it just so exciting to finally get to meet you as well.
Yeah.
So totally.
This has been awesome. Yeah. Guys, thanks for having me. I've told you guys I've listened to almost every podcast over the past couple of years. Wow. So I'm a fan too. Yeah. So I love what you guys are doing and keep it up.
Yeah. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it. Share this with, I don't know, who should they share with? I don't know.
Everyone. I mean,
everyone. There's no one you shouldn't share this with.
This is so relatable in every stage of life. Yeah.
Well, that's about it. That wraps it up. Folks, thank you so much for listening once again. And as always, remember, reflect what's good.